The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
The Lord, right? And I just want to thank all of the people who work with the kids and our precious children, because that was super special. And we get to see, like Jim was saying, we get to see our future and realize how very important the work of the ministry is, which is what we're going to talk about today. And children would have to be at the tippity top for me. They are a precious gift from the Lord, and it is our responsibility to pour into them and prepare them for their task that they have ahead. And I just thank all of our people so much for the care that they put and their selves that they pour into those kiddos. And it is good to see you this morning. I'm happy to be with you. My husband is gone doing school. He's way less happy than we are right now. But he's fulfilling his responsibilities, and he said to tell you he misses you all. So anyway, let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your many and varied richness in your body, in each people group, Father, in each age group. The love and the blessings that you pour out on us, the way and the path that you've laid before us as your family. Thank you for your word, Father, that guides us in everything we do. Father, we ask that you would plant your word deep in our hearts, and Father, we receive it, and we give you our word that we will take it, and we will produce from it good fruit that blesses your heart. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, something that I've noticed in walking with the Lord for a majority of my life, actually all of my life, I've learned from the people around me who've also been with the Lord for a long time, that the Christian body, the body of Christ, our understanding has been growing up over the ages. So when Jesus sacrificed himself and gave his gospel, there was a real freshness there, and we get from that the word and the gospel, and it was shared with the world in a pure form. And then we kind of went through some darkness there, and it's like the enemy really tried to shut that down. And the church during the Reformation and the early, what we call early church days, when it was starting to wake up again, it was kind of like it was in its infancy again, and we were rediscovering the word. Well, babies don't know everything. So as a whole, Christianity was learning. It didn't know everything. Well, when you don't know everything, you make mistakes, right? And today I want to talk about one of the mistakes that I've seen us growing out of in the past 10, 15, 20 years of my life. And that is how God's teachers and how his body are structured and what their purpose is. So let's start with Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and then we're going to pull it apart. And that I'm going to read out of the NLT today. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Gifts God, that Christ gave to the church, his body. In 12, it says, their responsibility, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. What I saw in the past is that I think the body of Christ thought that the priests and the pastors and the leaders of the church were the ones who did the work of the ministry. They did everything. And the sheep, the body, listened and took it in and tried to live a better life with it, grow in the Lord personally. But I do not believe that people realized, let's go back, the leaders of the church, the ones who have been given these gifts, are supposed to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. So guess what that means? You are the ones who go do the work of the ministry. We're the ones who provide for you the strength, the teaching, the encouragement, the prayer covering, the help. We're here to help you and get you ready to do the thing that God called you to do. Every single human on the face of the earth has been implanted with gifts from God. And when we choose Jesus Christ and we say yes to him, his spirit comes inside of us and empowers us to go out and function for him. So even the newest baby Christian who just got saved and is a baby has something to share with the world that the world cannot find anywhere. And that is a Savior and a Father who created you from the beginning with intent and purpose and loves you and has a plan for you and saved you from an eternity in hell. That alone is everything. But that's not all God gives us. Then we start growing up in the Lord and we mature and we build and we become a cohesive body, and we become a person who functions in the ministry for the Lord. That's you guys. And I think, I assume, knowing humanity, that some people taught that out of a desire for power and pride. But I think most of the time, the reason that that was believed was because people think, well, I know my issues. I know that I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. They know so much more. They're so much mature. The leaders of the church, they're the ones who have the ability. I'm not holy enough. But that's a lie, because when Jesus Christ shed his blood for us and we receive that free gift, his blood makes us holy enough. His spirit inside of us equips us to do whatever we're called to do from the moment he enters into our heart. So I'm excited to see that the church as a whole is growing out of that mindset of, oh, it's the pastors who do all the work. Oh, no, we're here for you. We're here to support and encourage you, but you're the ones who go out into the world. It's awesome, guys. It's exciting. I'm going to go real fast, and I'm going to explain to you what apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers do. Apostles tend to be the leaders who go out and plant churches. They are messengers. They minister to leaders of churches. They're kind of the ministry to them. Prophets are those who are moved by the Spirit of God. They're his spokespeople, declaring to man what they've received by inspiration from the Spirit, especially like future events. And then evangelists tend to be the ones who go out into the world and share the gospel with unchurched, unsaved people. Pastors are the shepherds. They're the ones who, Monty and I are shepherds. We are the ones who care for you and encourage you and pray for you and teach you and help you on your path. And the teachers are people who teach the Bible. And all of those can kind of work together in one person or some of them, but that's called the fivefold ministry. And that's just giving you, I'm doing a teaching moment here, that's just giving you kind of an overview of what the leadership in a church's job is and what they do. In Ephesians 4:12 in the New King James Version, this is how I always memorized it, that all of these people were given to the saints for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we're in school for just a moment. Bear with me. And if you look at the notes online, I did not spell these Greek words the way they're spelled. I spelled them the way I needed to say them. So just know that. So equipping, that's what we do. That's what the pastors do. Equipping means complete, furnishing, and equipping. We're giving you all the things you need to grow and go do what God's called you to do. The work of the ministry. I didn't even say what that equipping was. Let's see if we can do the work of the ministry. Diakonia. That's what you guys do, the work of the ministry. And that one's long. It's service. It's ministering. It's those who proclaim and promote God's message to people. It's ministration of rendering the offices of Christian Affection. So basically, it's a deacon's work. It's meeting physical needs in the church. That's the biggest one, I think. The body of Christ is meeting the physical needs of the church. When somebody's sick, when somebody's going through something hard and we're praying for them, when someone needs a smile and a hug, when the bathrooms need to be cleaned at church, when the kids need some extra help, when the audiovisual needs help. It's all of the inner workings of the church. It even mentions food in there, in that word, preparing food. So food is important, not just to Baptists. It's important to everybody, right? We all like food, amen, and eating it together. But we're building a structure as the body of Christ. And another misconception that I believe that Christians have had is when you're saved, the thing that you're supposed to do is go out and tell everybody about Jesus. Knock on doors, hand out tracts. That's what we do. Well, that's what some people do. Some people have been called to that. All of us have been called to live a life that shines Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that all of us go knock on doors. Not all of us are evangelists. There's only like one mouth and two hands and two feet on a body. But in a body, there's all kinds of organs and muscles and bones and connective tissue. And think of yourselves as that. You're one or some of those things. If you don't have a liver, you don't function well. If you don't have ears, it's harder to function. If you don't have feet, it's hard to function. So our first ministry, as we are saved Christians, is to our local body, the place that we've been called to care for the inner functionings of the church. Because livers don't take care of someone else's body. They take care of our own body, right? Well, when you're called to a body, whatever body that is, your first responsibility is to care for that body with your gift. Because what happens when a body is healthy and strong? It is able to function effectively, right? Let's look for just a quick moment at the edifying that we see at the end of Ephesians 4:12. Okademe, edifying, build up. That is, again, one of your jobs, building up the body of Christ. It's an act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness. It's a building. It's a structure. So when everybody brings that gift that God placed in them and is empowering them to function in and uses it in the body is healthy. A few years ago, I preached a message about connective tissue. There's a lot of people who, again, they think, I don't have any skills. I'm shy. I work two jobs. I don't have much energy. I mean, there's reasons, right? I don't know what I can do. I don't have the energy to clean the bathroom. Connective tissue, a body without connective tissue, does not function. There are people who are called to be a part of a body, and they're just their presence in the body strengthens the body and helps it function more effectively. Don't ever feel like there is nothing for you. God does not make mistakes. He does not make things that are ineffective. We may not know all of the purposes of the appendix, but God doesn't make accidents. There's a reason. There is a reason for you, and you have a purpose. When we function as a body and we learn how to work together and we bring our gifts together in an effective way, we then can do the next part, Ephesians 4:13-16, also in the NLT. All of this that we're doing, working together, we're teaching and training, you're functioning and working in the body and in the world around you. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He, this is key, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that an awesome picture? So we come into the body and we're young in the Lord and we work together, and there's people who come beside us in the body and they encourage us and they love on us and they share their experiences and they share what the Lord has told them, and it builds us up and we grow together and we learn to function together. And then let's go and look at Acts 1:8. This is what happens after the body, as the body is working together. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he left us with a task, and it starts with us working together as a body and being healthy and strong together, building each other up. And then what happens? We have the strength and the ability and the effectiveness to go out into the world and share the good news. Because remember, Jesus would have that no one would perish. He does not want to lose one of his created children. Every single one is precious. And we have the ability as the body of Christ to share that news with people effectively. The better we work together, the more that we function together, the more effective we are at sharing him. Because we're good for each other. We build each other up. We give nutrition to each other spiritually. That's how a body works. And then we can have the strength to go against the enemy. Because heck, can you imagine an enemy with all of us, our arms locked? He has no way in. No way at all. If one of us is out there alone, we're sunk. We are sunk, but together, I mean, Monty said it before. How many of you have seen a liver hopping down the road all by itself? Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. There's a little key inside that verse in Acts where Jesus talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jerusalem represents what's right here. Your family, your home church, and your city. It's right inside your wheelhouse. That's our first level of responsibility. Judea is like the region, our area. We have influence in our area. Samaria is like our country, the United States, and the ends of the earth is the whole world. So God, it's so cool to me when you dig around in the Bible, he always gives you a guideline, a path to follow. He always has these nuggets in there. But he tells us, first and foremost, is our family and our church. And from that come healthy functioning to all of the parts of the world. I love that. We're going to finish up here because we're almost there. The last thing I want to look at is what Jesus told us, and it goes with what we just read in Acts 1:8. It's Mark 16:15. And I like it in the New King James because it's just very succinct. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that what we just said? He doesn't want to lose anybody. Every human being he has created throughout time is precious to him. And we're the ones who establish his kingdom here on earth. And we're the ones who have the ability to share the good news. And you are the ones who have been equipped to do that good work. There is no such thing as a kid of God who does not have a gift to share with the body and with the world. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of the Creator of the universe inside of you. And he is giving you all that you need to not only have a successful, abundant life, but to touch the people around you, to minister to your church body and build it up and strengthen it. God has a plan for every single church that he has. Every church has a unique, I like to say a unique flavor. That is why it is important that you pray about where you're supposed to be, because you're like, it's like a big puzzle and you belong in a specific church and they need you and you need them. You work together. And once you are in that body that you belong in, your effectiveness and their effectiveness skyrockets. And so it's important to know that there is a place for you. Again, God did not intend for any of his children or his body parts to be just floating around there all by themselves. He meant for each and every one of us to be sharing with each other and then the world, whatever it is he put inside of us. And there's nothing that's too small. To the Lord, cleaning his bathrooms is as vitally as important as any other part of the ministry. Because what happens if we never clean our bathrooms? That's really, really gross. And we don't like that. And it gets grosser and grosser. And so cleaning the bathrooms, ministering to the kids, hugging someone and smiling at them and encouraging them when they're discouraged, praying. I don't care what it is, guys, and I don't care where your physical abilities are. There is something for you to do in the body that is effective, that is needed, and that is going to bring joy to you as well as health to the body. So don't let the enemy lie to you and say that you're too young, you're too old, you're too tired, whatever. He has a purpose for you in every season, no matter who you are. You are important. You are vital to the healthy functioning of the body. So I just want to leave you with that and encourage you to unpack it and just let the Lord lead you. Ask him questions. You hear me say it all the time. Ask the Lord questions. What do you want from me, Lord? What do you want me to know? What's my next step? What do you want from me in this season in my local body? How can I support them? One of the things that is absolutely vital to the functioning of our body is prayer. And I just shared yesterday with our prayer team, yesterday or the day before, a prayer request. And we're going to start using our app and our website more effectively. If the Lord has it on your heart to pray for people, we have a little prayer wall on our app. Take a look at it. If it's on your heart to pray, like if that's your thing, look at it every day. You can mark on there that you're praying. You can reply in faith to build people up. If you want to pray sometimes, whenever the Lord puts it on your heart, check the prayer wall. If you have a prayer request, use it. We are meant to support each other. And as the body gets bigger and bigger, and it's harder to talk back and forth and keep everybody, I don't love social media and technology, but I love some of its benefits, and this is one of those benefits. So EJ offered, if you need to know how to put the app on your phone or find the prayer wall, he will help you. He offered. We will take him up on that. If you feel the Lord stirring in your heart, we have our lovely Lighthouse Church bulletin, which is online and in paper, and it's absolutely beautiful, actually. I'm so proud of what you guys have done. On the back of it, it tells you the main ministries in the church. They always need help. Ask the Lord, is there anything you want me to do? Sometimes it could be bring cookies. It doesn't have to be all of the time, but if the Lord is stirring that in you, I promise he will give you the grace for that in the season. Like you saw today, our children are absolutely precious. I want to put our best into our kids. If you have any stirrings there, talk to Debbie Johnson, because that is, like we said, our future. And those kiddos, they need everything the Lord has to give them, because they are in a season of the world that is under fire. And they need truth. They need truth. They need the security of the Lord. They need those things. And we want to share that with them. So as they go out into their calling, they have that foundation that they need and their whole church body behind them. So that one is a big one. Anyway, I hope that this was helpful to you. It's been stirring around on my heart for quite a while, and I kept telling Monty he needed to preach it, and then he was going to be gone. I'm like, oh, maybe the Lord's telling me to preach it. Imagine that. He wasn't listening to me for a reason. Sometimes husband's hearing is on purpose. For good or evil. I want to go on now to our Lighthouse Confessions, if you have those for us. It's so good to be here with you guys this morning. I got to tell you, I've grown up in church, and I'm blessed that I have. But this is the first church I have ever been in that I feel love the moment I walk in the door. It's such a blessing, guys. And I feel that sense of we've got our arms locked with each other, and no matter where we're at, whether we can be here every time or not, we are a force to be reckoned with in the kingdom of God, because we're together and we love each other and we love our Father and we want to do what he has called us to do. And we're going to be effective. I know it. I know we are effective. So anyway, we'll pause for a cause there. Let's say our confessions. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. But whatever I do will prosper, because I am like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. With what measure I meet, it is measured unto me. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully. I give cheerfully, and my God has made all grace abound toward me. And I, having all sufficiency of all things, do abound to all good works. No evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. And in my pathway there is life and there is no death. I am a doer of the word of God, and I am blessed in my deeds. I am happy in those things I do, because I am a doer of the word of God. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish his word upon this earth. Amen. There is power when we say God's word together. I like to picture the enemy scattering like a bunch of little weenie butts. Just being honest. That wasn't very, you know. And that's my mind. Okay, I didn't even mean to make that joke, Jim. It's accidental. I'm going to speak your blessing over you. God's heart for us is all for good, all for our benefit, all his love for us. So I encourage you to close your eyes and soak it in. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders. And blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. May the Lord's unfailing love rest upon you, even as you put your hope in him. May the grace of the Lord pour out on you abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The Lord knows the plans he has for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. May you embrace this truth. When you call upon the Lord and pray to him, he will listen to you. You will seek the Lord and find him when you search for him with your whole heart. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. May you be blessed with the love and kindness of the Lord. May you have abundant happiness because your strength is in the Lord, and in your heart are pilgrim highways to his holy mountain. May you go from strength to strength and appear before God in Zion. Behold, God is your salvation. May you trust in him and not be afraid, for the Lord God is your strength and song. He has become your salvation. May calmness and confidence in the Lord make you strong. May you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. May you set the Lord continually before you. Because he is at your right hand, you will not be shaken. Therefore, may your heart be glad, and may your glory rejoice, and your flesh also will dwell securely. May the Lord yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. May grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, spring is trying to come. It's a little confused, but yay. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful moisture, and thank you, Lord, that you're bringing more. We're speaking good things. We're having our Bible study Tuesday night at 6. We're learning how to hear God's voice. Again, one of the most powerful, life-changing ones. Join us online, Facebook, YouTube, or come and be with us where you can ask questions. It's a step-by-step that everyone can hear God's voice. Granddad pointed out when you received Jesus, when you accepted him, you heard his voice. That's how you made that choice. So you can hear him. And there are ways to hear him. There are ways that scripture tells us how to hear him. So join us for that. It's been really good. We're about halfway through. Tent meeting is coming, guys. Be praying because the pieces and parts are starting to get put together. And that is such a blessed season and such a good time of fellowship and feeding from different leaders and different pastors. So anyway, I hope you all have a great Sunday afternoon and a great week. I'm going to go ahead and close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We declare it is seated right down in the depths of our heart. Father, you are going to unpack it for us. You are going to teach us through it. You are going to bless us through it, and we choose to follow you in it. Father, we bless you, praise you, and honor you. I declare blessings over this body of Christ, Father. Each and every person is precious and on purpose. Father, encourage them as they go out into their week and function in you, Father God, growing and becoming stronger and filled with joy. Father, we receive your joy in this season of a world upside down. None of this is surprising to you, Lord, and we are here on purpose, and we choose to walk out that path that you've laid before us with your strength and your power, Father. So I just declare that blessing over each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.